There was a song released in 2017, I think it was. I'm just going to play you the first 30 seconds of it. Here we go. Is it going to work? Let's see.
To the final show, I hope you're wearing your best clothes. You can't bribe the door on your way to the sky. You look pretty good down here, but you ain't really good.
That's enough. That's enough Harry Styles for one day, isn't it? I played that song. It's got nothing to do with faith or Jesus or God or anything like that. But it uses a phrase that Harry probably doesn't realize is he's borrowed from Jesus, which was this the name of the song, the sign of the times. It's something that Jesus originally said, that Jesus coined. And yeah, it's kind of just part of our normal
lingo these days, isn't it? Sign of the times.
Sorry, I think I just turned that off myself. It comes from Matthew chapter 16, verse 3, which is Matthew's account of what we're going to look at today from Luke's account. But Luke doesn't use that phrase, but Matthew does. He says, Jesus says, "You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times." And so today we're jumping back into this series in the book of Luke just for a couple of weeks. And we come to the end of chapter 12. Where we're just going to look at three verses today. Today's a much shorter sermon, so I'm looking at the clock. Here we go, from Luke chapter 12, verses 54 to 57. He said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites! You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time?" Or in Matthew's version, the signs of the times. So what's going on here in this little, just this short passage? The answer is a crisis is coming. Jesus says there's something big going to happen soon, and you need to watch out for it. What he's alluding to is probably a couple of things. Firstly, it's the events of Easter. Jesus' death, resurrection, and them going to Jerusalem for that. But the other thing that he's talking about is something political that's happening in the wider context, which culminates in the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in AD 70. And this was a massive event in history, and it happens, just after the life of Jesus. And Jesus can see it coming, but others can't. And the issue is that it's not that they're stupid. He says to them, they know how to read the local weather forecasts. They know that clouds rolling in from the Mediterranean means that rain's coming, and it still does. And a wind from the hot and dusty Negev means muggy weather is coming. So they know, okay, which way is the wind going? Right, we know what kind of weather is going to come. So they know this. They're geniuses when it comes to the weather. They are the Michael Fish and John Ketley of their days. Little reference to 90s weather forecasters there. And we love the weather, don't we? Like, we love talking about the weather. Like, I can't think how many times this week I've said, "Lovely day, isn't it?" to a neighbour or whatever, because there's a commonality to it. Like, we're all experiencing this, so it's something that's easy to comment on. Although, often it's more like, "Isn't it miserable here today? Isn't it miserable? Isn't it horrible? Isn't it grey?" But so we love talking about the weather. We love checking our weather apps. We love, "Oh, what kind of day is it going to be today? So what can I plan for today?" We love the weather. And they loved the weather as well. They knew all about it. They weren't stupid. But the issue is that for Jesus, they're so concerned about the weather, they need to open their eyes to see the bigger picture of what's going on around them. From the Roman occupation to the oppressive regime of Herod, from the wealthy and arrogant high priests to the false agendas of the Pharisees, and then in the middle of it, this young prophet announcing God's kingdom and healing the sick. And Jesus wants them to look around and see that this is the moment all of Israel's history has been waiting for. This is the moment where God is up to something. They need to look out for the signs of the times. So that's them. That's their kind of context. But what about us? What's that got to do with us? What does it mean for us to look out for the signs of the times, particularly on this AGM Sunday, when we're thinking about what kind of church are we, and going forward, what kind of church do we want to be? Let me suggest a couple of things that I think it means for us to read the signs of the times. And I've got to be quick on this because of a time. So here we go. First of all, I think it means to be a calm voice. To be a calm voice. In each of the Gospels, Jesus actually does expand on what it means to read the signs of the times. And in Mark chapter 13, he's particularly clear. He says in verse 7 and 8, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, these are the signs of the times, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nation and kingdoms against kingdom. There's going to be earthquakes, more signs of the times in various places, and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. And we face our own signs of the times today. This stuff all going around in our world. We pick up our newspaper every day and we see wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and famines and kind of all the same stuff that's happening in Jesus' day. We live in a world, a fallen world, where there's so much pain. But Jesus' words are key here as to how we interpret that pain. Because he says, you see this pain all around, you see it all going on, do not be alarmed. Do not be alarmed. How can he say do not be alarmed? Because he says we need to interpret this pain in a particular way. We need to interpret these pains as birth pains, he said. Now, I've never experienced childbirth. It's no surprise to you, I'm sure. But I have watched my wife go through it 3 times. And whilst I've never felt the pain myself, I just have so much respect for her, knowing how painful childbirth is. But the birth of our first child, Joseph, 13 years ago, was one of the most joyful moments of my life. It was also one of the most embarrassing moments of my life as well. And the reason was because we had this little team in the delivery suite with us when he was born, a doctor, a nurse, and a midwife, and there they were. And Joseph was eventually delivered after hours. You know, we were in the hospital for like 24 hours plus and all this kind of thing. And eventually he was born. And in this moment of triumph, in this moment of joy, in the moment when I pictured it as a kind of Lion King moment, the moment where I'd hold my son above my head, or like shout out, who's your daddy? Or, you know, those kind of things. In that moment of joy and triumph and celebration, I fainted. True, absolutely true. I just remember it just was all very overwhelming, and the stress of it all, and like just seeing it all happen, and then suddenly it's like our son, and I just kind of keeled over into the chair. It wasn't as if like I completely was knocked out and I don't remember anything and I woke up a few hours later. It was kind of, I was still aware of what was going on. And I just had this moment of hearing a team of nurses run into, like, must have been, was there loads of them, Sam? It felt like there was loads of them. 3. Was there only 3? Okay. So it's just this team of nurses rush into the delivery suite, not for the poor woman who's just given birth, but for the dad who feels a bit queasy. I like to think it was me sharing in my wife's pain, you know, like just having sympathy for what she had gone through. I kind of think of it like that. So no, I don't know the pain of what she went through at all, but I do know the joy that we experienced at the end of all that pain. And that's that. Childbirth is the pain of childbirth is very different from any kind of pain. You know, no other pain is as redemptive. Even pain that then ends, it's only because you're relieved that you're not in pain anymore after an operation or, you know, whatever else. It's like, oh, thank goodness I'm not in pain anymore. And you joy, that there's joy in that. But in childbirth, there's a complete reversal. You go from absolute pain to absolute joy in a few moments. And Jesus is saying, this is how you need to interpret what's going on in your world. These are the signs of the times. But he says, do not be alarmed. They're his words, because this is a different type of pain. This is like the pain of childbirth. And there are so many panicking in our world today. They look around, it's like, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen about Ukraine? And what's going to happen about pandemic? And what other things do we not know about yet? You know what? And there's this sense of panic. And I think our job as the church is to be what others have called a non-anxious presence, to be calm. So yeah, this, and that's not saying the pain doesn't matter, and you know, oh, it's just childbirth pain. You know, we don't want to say that, but it's God is in this. Let's not panic. Do not be alarmed, are the words of Jesus. And in the pain, we seek to be Christ to others in the midst of those who are going through hard times. So to read the sign of the times, I think, is to be a calm voice. But then there's a second part to this, which is, we're also called to be a prophetic voice. That was just wonderful, the way that Steve basically prayed that already. In writing on this passage, scholar Tom Wright says this, the church has from early on read this chapter as a warning that each generation must read the signs of the times, that the great movements of people, government and nations and policies, and must react accordingly. If the kingdom is to come on earth as it is in heaven, part of the prophetic voice role of the church is to understand the events of earth and address them with the message of heaven. That was the take home for me this week in my reading. The prophetic role of the church. And I think by that he means like the Old Testament prophets. It's not so much predicting the future. It's more the Old Testament prophets were in the midst of what was going on around them, the events of earth, but asking God, what are you saying here? And then coming sometimes with quite a hard message to, you know, this is what the Lord says about this situation. Role of the church to understand the events of earth and address them with a message of heaven. Being a prophetic voice. And Steve alluded to it in his prayers, but you might have seen the last couple of weeks, the government came out with this policy to tackle the number of people trying to get into the UK across the channel, and a number of people dying, or people who do reach the shore then have to get processed, and then they often get sent somewhere else. And the policy was that a number of these people were going to be sent to Rwanda from now on. In response to that, in his Easter Sunday message, the Archbishop of Canterbury said, this is not good. He said that we were subcontracting our responsibilities, and this was opposite to the nature of God, condemning the policy. It just seems so inhumane. But what interests me was the backlash that he got from that, not just from the government, but from social media. You could read the comments. Him saying, this matters, and this is against the nature of God. And the response from people was, Archbishop of Canterbury, it's not your job to get involved in politics. Stay out of politics. Work on getting people into your churches, thank you very much, and stay out of government issues. But the church, the problem with this is the church has always been involved in politics. Because the church is concerned for the least of these, as Jesus put it. For those on the margins, for those without a voice, for victims, for the vulnerable, for any policies or laws that would mean that the poor become poorer or that the vulnerable get pushed aside or unfairly treated, it's a matter of the church. It's not just a political issue. It's one that we have a voice in and a prophetic voice to seek to understand the events of earth and bring the message of heaven. That doesn't mean we have to align with a particular political party. You know, we're not a left-wing church or a right-wing church. It's just we care about people, and anything that affects people, we want to say something about. There's a prophetic element. We have a prophetic role to read the signs of the times. So there you go. What does it mean to do that? Well, it's to be a calm voice. Do not be alarmed. The birth pains. And it's to be a prophetic voice. What's God saying in this? What's his heart towards this moment? I've just put those two points up on the slide there. I've talked about what it means for us as a church. What does it mean? What does it mean for you as an individual right now on your front line to be either of those things? Just as we round up, in your workplace or with your neighbours, the people you meet each day, the people you're going to see this week? What does it mean for you to be a calm voice in that? To not panic like everyone else is, even if internally you might be feeling some of that, but to be the voice of calm. And then what does it mean for you to be a prophetic voice as well? To seek to say something where there is injustice, where there's wrong. Let's pray together, shall we? Just as we ask God's Spirit to illuminate our, bring to mind things. Father, we thank you for Jesus' awareness and ability to look around him and at the same time, on one hand, be aware of what was going on and the bigger political issues. He knew that he was going to the cross. He knew that things were going to blow up in Jerusalem at that time. And yet at the same time, he could hear your voice. He could seek the mind of the Spirit and what you were saying. And Lord, help us to be people who, as John Stott said, read the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. And Lord, would you speak into our individual situations, the things that we might be facing this week? Would you speak into what it means for us to be your church at this time? Come, Holy Spirit, we need your strength, we need your courage, we need your wisdom each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.